Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Bradfo Show. That's my open. That's what they used to call me, Swivel Hip Bradford. That's my open.
I'm waiting for you to justify your stupid opinion.
Bradfo Show.
That's delicious. All right, we're back. We're storming on into Red Sox pregame, the Houston Astros versus the Boston Red Sox. Joe Castiglione, Mario Mpemba on the call. I believe Sean McAdam is going to be helping out with pregame as well with the great Will Fleming. So a lot to look forward to. Should be a good game tonight after last night's sort of mess. But we've been talking a lot about leadership stemming off of one of the most noteworthy interviews of the week, which was Zdeno Chara talking about how he views the leadership in the clubhouse. Before I get back to the calls, I want to surface this story I mentioned earlier. So Matteo Arcardi, of one of our interns from Springfield College, he did a story, a good story, and the title of the story was Why Brad Stevens Isn't a Fan of Team Captains. So this is what Brad Stevens said. I spent a lot of time studying this at Butler. I'd say out of the 12 years that I've been a head coach, we've rarely had captains. And the reason being is that you want to empower everyone to add leadership within their own authentic way. We want players like Horford and Baines, who are the most experienced, to be vocal and active within their personality. We want our best player in Kyrie to be vocal and do it within his personality. We want our players that aren't as accomplished and maybe aren't playing as much, like Robert Williams, to feel it's okay to have ownership and say within his personality what he thinks too. So that's interesting that Brad Stevens feels that way, because I think that, you know, he talks about Horford and Baines being the older ones, but I think that the problem is that there was definitely a perception, at least from outside when it came to the Celtics, that Kyrie Irving was trying to be the guy, trying to be the captain. Kyrie Irving was going to be more the voice. And really, you hear the quotes in the Jackie McMullen story from Rozier, from Jaylen Brown. That's certainly how it felt. It felt like those players sort of wanted to view Kyrie Irving as the leader or the captain. And, you know, they had to adjust, and everyone was adjusting, and it landed where it landed. But Brad Stevens, in this article, it was talking about why he doesn't have captains. And I guess there's a point to be made. He said his first line, I spent a lot of time studying this at Butler. So at least he's not just thinking it or making it up. And obviously he's had some success at it, and he's had some success with the Celtics in terms of that dynamic. But I think when you introduce a guy like Kyrie at 26 years old, and maybe his personality, and then you have the younger guys with their personalities, maybe it just with that approach maybe wasn't necessarily the one that fit the best. I don't know. Okay, let's go back to the calls. Let's get Tariq here, John. Can we pull Tariq up? Hey, Tariq, how are you? You there? Hello, Tariq. Tariq in Boston. 3, 2, 1. Tariq, call back if you like. Jim and Lowell.
Jim. Hey, Rob, how you doing?
Hey, Jim, how you doing? Happy, I hope you're having a good Memorial Day weekend.
Well, you know, I'm out putting the flowers on the graves. I got many veterans in my family.
You're a good man. You're a good man. I appreciate that.
A lot of veterans. But yep. You know what? Some baseball here.
Sure.
You know, Rob, and I know you're the ultimate guy, go-to guy, but I'll tell you, what is going on with the sloppiness with the Red Sox this year, with the defense? You're in spring training every year. Mm-hmm. I've only been there a couple of times, but universally, basically, what's the first drill that both teams start off spring training with?
First,
it's ground ball is the first for the pitcher to go over.
Yeah, and then they don't do it the rest of the year.
Yeah, but that's what they start off every spring training with. So how can you screw that up right from the get-go? And how about the rundown? How many rundowns now has that been this year? It's at least two that I can remember that they have screwed up. And I blame Pierce for that, not Chavis. The sloppiness is getting under my skin, Rob.
Well, yeah, and the problem is, Jim, is that the reality of baseball, you mentioned the PFPs, pitchers fielding practice. They do this at the beginning, and they almost never do it. It's not like they're going out before the games and executing rundowns or PFPs. You're taking ground balls. Sure, you're doing a ton of that. But you're not doing those little things. And even fly balls, you know, early in the year, the outfield defense wasn't good. So if you want an explanation, I'm sorry, Jim, I don't have one for this team.
You know, can I give you a possible explanation?
Sure.
I don't think you'll be happy with it.
No.
I mean, fundamentally, they are not a sound team. Now, Alex Cora, outside of Terry Francona in 04, where he outmanaged three World Series championship managers, outside of that, Cora did the greatest job I have ever seen, and I saw Dick Williams, and I've seen, you know what, Farrell and 13. He did the greatest job last year outside of Francona in 04 of any manager I've ever seen in a Red Sox uniform. Jimmy Williams, you can name them all. But here's my thing. I have never been a big fan in any sport of players' managers. Because normally what happens is they have a good run early on, and then it seems like the players kind of disrespect them and kind of walk all
almost
over.
Almost all the managers are former players. Almost all of them.
Players, managers, you know, managers.
You're talking about managers who tend to get along with players a little bit better than them. Yes.
They're like nice to the players and polite to them. I know I'm kind of old school. I'm kind of more of a Buck Showalter guy, but he was not a very successful manager. But you know what? I'm concerned that maybe the players are not listening and respecting Cora this year, because I'm just seeing too much sloppiness to think it's just a coincidence, Rob.
Well, Jim, thanks for the call. Thank you for putting the flags on all the graves, and I thank everybody for doing that this weekend, and all the parades and ceremonies is very, very important. And obviously, we should remember why we have this weekend, why we have this day on Monday. In terms of the player-manager thing, it's interesting because when Farrell left and Cora came in, one of the things that we all said, and I said it as well, that maybe baseball was changing. Maybe we had to evolve into you have a different dynamic in these clubhouses where the manager had to be that way a little bit more. The manager had to be a little more interactive with the players than before. That's just the way that it was going. And you saw that, and you can't just treat, as you mentioned, Buck Showalter and maybe other managers from the past, but you can't just treat baseball the same way and not expect change. We've been talking about rookies being integrated into clubhouses and how that has changed. Well, you know, that goes with the manager as well. The game is getting younger. It's not like you sit a guy and you make him earn his stripes. No. If he can help the team, he can help the team. And you don't just sit in your manager's office and say to yourself, usually you have to be interactive. It's about communication more than ever. It is just a different era of baseball players. And I do think last year you have Alex Cora. Not only did he make a ton of good moves, but he also hit the sweet spot in terms of the dynamic of that clubhouse, much like Farrell did, by the way, in 2013. When you were rolling over from Bobby Valentine, and you got the guy who was more like the guy him before him, Terry Francona. That is what that group of players needed and wanted. These guys, these 30-something-year-old guys who were used to doing it a certain way, like the way that Farrell did it, like the way that Francona did it, didn't like the way that Valentine did it. That was the right guy at the right time. And Cora, same deal here. Same deal. Now, you always have to make sure that you aren't letting guys get away with stuff, but I think Cora understands that. He does. I mean, and certainly there's been times this year where he hasn't been afraid to call out the team. You go up to Oakland when he said, you know, we aren't doing the little things. All right, you know, so that's him calling out the teams, him saying we gotta cut the crap here, but words only mean so much. As I said, it's not like these guys are going out constantly and working on rundowns. It's just not happening. It's just you have to go in with the right mental approach. And even the little thing like Sandy Leone's a very good catcher. But he should understand going back, putting the glove in front of the plate instead of trying to tag the guy up high, cost him a run. Little things like that. Yeah, and I don't know, maybe that all of what we're talking about from last night's game is just all lumped in with mentally they just weren't there. I don't know, but don't believe me. This isn't a case of going out and practicing all these things. It's not how it works in baseball. Let's go back to the phones, Alex and Lynn. Hey, Alex, how are you?
What's up, man?
What's going on?
How are yourself?
Good.
I just think that money has a lot to do with attitude and how you go about your business. And you got a bunch of people that had financial security. They got nice little contracts. Some of them already won a ring. And they're nonchalant about it. I mean, you got a bunch of Yankees that are no names trying to stay in the big leagues. Like, who the hell is Gio Urshela? I don't think the kid's mom knows that he's in the major leagues.
Well, he's doing pretty well.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a contract, so he's trying to stay in the team, and so is the rest of that team.
Yeah, you know, Alex, Alex, not to interrupt you, but really it's a good point. Because people were trying to say, what's wrong with the Red Sox? What's wrong with the Red Sox? And, you know, so many things were wrong with the Red Sox, starting with the starting pitching to begin the year. But, Alex, I will say this. I did feel like there was a little bit of, like, our poop doesn't stink vibe coming out of spring training. And, yeah, you know, it's not ideal to start on the road for 11 games on the West Coast after winning the World Series. But you do
That's
want...
A long time
you,
ago,
but
man.
Yeah, I know, but what I'm saying is that I agree with you. Is it look at when Chavis got up here? I mean, Chavis had something to prove. The guy, I don't know if you heard Marcus Walden.
Yeah.
Marcus Walden was on with us earlier, right? Like, he had something to prove. There, it's human nature, even though you have these ultra-talented guys, it's human nature to want to prove yourself. And when you've already proved yourself, it's hard to amp it up like that.
You got that guaranteed contract. Like, who gets a rat's ass?
Yeah, well, those aren't going anywhere. But it's Alex, it's a great point, and I hope you have a great weekend. But, you know, the Yankees, everyone's saying, well, they have all these injuries. They have all these injuries. Look at their record. Look at where they are in the standings. And there must be a reason for it, because at some point you have to thin out the talent so much where it's going to catch up to you. But Urshela and some of these other guys, or even the new guys, you want to prove yourself. You want to prove yourself. The Red Sox have rolled over this entire roster. And to come in and think it was going to be exactly the same would have been a mistake. And I can't get in their head, but that was the image that they portrayed anyway, at the gate. Now they're catching up a little bit. They're playing better. I know they lost last night, but they've dug themselves a little bit of a hole. They're still just as talented as anyone probably. And they're probably going to be okay. But if you want answers to why they found themselves in this hole initially, I think that that's a pretty good place to start. 617-779-7937. We'll continue to talk about leadership. I saw that some people wanted to talk about Paul Pierce. Maybe they wanted to take me to tassing. How dare I say Paul Pierce shouldn't have been captain when he was named captain.
How dare you say anything remotely negative about any Boston athlete that they revere.
It's revisionist history. I covered the team. I actually covered that team, that Celtics team. And I remember, and this doesn't make Paul Pierce a bad guy, and it doesn't make him that he wasn't a leader eventually. But I remember Antoine Walker, tough games. He was at his locker. And this is just part of the equation. He was at his locker answering the tough questions, and Pierce skipped out. Pierce was young. He was the best player. That's fine. But it goes to what we were talking about. Just because you're the best player doesn't mean you're a leader or you should be the captain. Tom Brady, he's a captain because he's serving our man Harry. He's serving him avocado burgers
his
in the back
name?
Line.
Got his first name, Rob?
Kneel. Nikhil.
There you go.
Is it Nikhil?
Yes, it's Nikhil.
Why do
whatever your first thought is, just say the opposite.
I know. That's my rule of thumb every single time I speak. 617-779-7937. Be back after this.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back to Rob Bradford on WEEI.
It's
turn on the TV and they're playing again at 12:37. It's like, didn't you guys just get done playing like a few hours ago? It's just, baseball needs to, like, Jerry Jones has had a couple of facelifts. Baseball doesn't need Botox. Baseball needs a major facelift right now. I mean, they got to go in there. They need a liposuction, facelift, Botox, the collagen fillers. It needs to just completely go through a major, major change if they're going to be able to get the young demo.
That's Mark James, my co-host for the first segment. He's talking Botox for MLB. Okay, I guess.
Mark likes to make fun of your speech. I don't know if you heard this part of it, though.
It's just, baseball needs to...
Whatever, man. Whatever. I told you, it was bizarre. I was going to get ice for my my daughter's graduation party last week. I jump in the car, and like at 2:45, it was like this, him and saying, Wiggy and I can't talk. Yeah, okay, we can't talk. That's fine. That's cool. But why are you saving that for 2:45? I didn't want to, we could have talked about that today, I guess. It's all good. It's all good because we talked about a lot of other stuff. That first hour flew by. If you want to listen to that, that's up online right now, right, John?
Yes, it is.
Okay, there you go. So I'm Rob Bradford, and we're going to take you all the way up into Red Sox pregame show. We've been talking about a lot of stuff. We're talking about stuff on social media. We've been talking about leadership. I actually think the leadership conversation is a good one. And thanks to John, I got to give you credit, John. You've come up with some good examples, including the Tom Brady inviting the rookie over to his house on Memorial Day weekend to throw some passes. Here's the only question I have about that, looking back at those or looking at those photos. Who's taking the photos? Like, that's not like random photography.
Braxton Berrios, probably.
Look at you. All right, maybe. Hey, you know what? You got to walk before you can run coming over to Tom Brady's house.
Right. Well, that would feel like a slap in the face if he was over there photographing the whole thing, because the guy who's the rookie this year.
Braxton, can you take the photo of this year's rookie? But you look at the photos, they're professionally done. Right? They're very well done. So does Tom Brady say, hey, you know what? I need our social media team to come over to the house because I'm inviting a rookie to the back lawn to play some catch. And by the way, Julian Edelman will be there with some dogs.
And his daughter.
There you go.
If we were to power rank the reasons of why Tom Brady...
I like this.
Of why Tom Brady... Yeah, everyone was powered. You notice how there's a week off between Stanley Cup talk? Everyone was power ranking stuff this week. Like,
they were?
Yeah, like every... Oh, you know exactly what everyone did. Was they were drafting players in the Bruins Blues series.
Oh, yeah.
Every show did this.
Who's every show? You DJ did it.
No, did DJ do it? I don't think DJ did it. Some people, NBC Sports Boston did do it. 98.5 did it. Every show. I did an overnight this week, and there were like three shows I was going through.
So why were they power ranking? What were they doing?
They were drafting.
The players?
Yeah, they were drafting players between the Blues and the Bruins.
Oh, okay. This is what happens, though, when you have a week and a half between games.
Right. Like, I think it might have been the Boston Herald, was assigning superheroes to all the Bruins players as well. So
I saw that.
You got to be creative, and I admire.
You do. Part of that is true. You do have to be creative. But the second part of that is the problem. You do have to be creative.
And then everyone comes up with the same idea. So
well, no. And then maybe some of the ideas is... Or whatever. I mean, everyone's trying to get through this week. Finally, we're going to have a game on Monday night. Obviously, the Red Sox game is before that. What a day of sports here in Boston. So everyone's excited, except for the people in St. Louis who evidently don't care because we haven't heard anything from them. There's no animosity. There's no green men. Remember the green men? Green men were great. The Vancouver Green Men. Remember that, John?
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Oh, yeah. Do a Google search.
I remember it now.
WEI did a whole thing. We followed them. They came in studio. We followed them around the city. It was a thing. And Vancouver had a ton of people here. I'm roaming the streets. I don't see anyone from St. Louis. What's going on? What's happening? This feels like the you know, this feels like the Rams-Patriots all over again without the crap talking from the players.
Right. There's no, I mean, what, but besides Pam from The Office, like what celebrities have been associated with the
Blues? Well, I did surface
John Hamm,
John
Hamm's one.
John Hamm, which I have a tremendous amount of respect for because I just went through seasons 1 through 7 on Mad Men.
Okay.
On Netflix. And anyone who can go 7 years of playing a character with that much debauchery is and not let it affect them, like personally, that's saying something.
Cranston did that too. He did 6 years, not 7 years.
And he came out on the other side, a very rich man and semi-normal, I guess.
Right, right.
So
hasn't done anything since.
But John Hamm and Jenna Fisher. There you go. Not two people are going to be spitting fire. I mean, we have Jermaine Wiggins, former Patriot Jermaine Wiggins.
Jenna Fisher is going to come out crushing Bruins players.
Yeah, it's what we want, right?
We have to get it. We just need to recreate the episode of The Office where she drank too much at Poor Richard's.
Oh no! Or when she walked over the coals and told her truce. I think Zdeno Chara isn't a real captain, and he cannot clear the puck.
He's a fifth best defenseman on the Bruins.
And Felk is so good to say that.
He should be a healthy scratch.
Anyway, 617.
I don't read none of these comments.
617-779. That's a pretty good wiggy. 617-779-7937. We were going to get to the game. You had airing of the grievances with my game with Wiggy.
No, not really. There's no airing of the grievances.
Okay.
I just noticed that, you know, after the Game of Thrones finale, everyone was pointing to scenes and saying, you know, that should be shown in a film in a film class.
Yes.
So I just thought that shot of you falling should be shown in photography
mauled.
Classes.
I was mauled.
I saw Steve Buckley pointed out on Twitter.
Oh, it was a great tweet by
Buck. Eerily similar to the Bobby Orr.
It was unbelievable. But once again, let's break down that shot where I'm diving headfirst, bracing myself. I'm not tripping over myself doing that. I had a 400-pound former professional athlete pushing me down.
Hey, let him play. Let him play.
Evidently, jailhouse rules, right? That's what he wanted?
Sports have gotten too soft nowadays. There's all these rules and stuff. You know, if all the professional leagues aren't going to let anyone touch each other, then we need to maintain that within our own lower rung of society here.
I guess. But at some point, but you know as well as I do, this is an excuse. I've already said, good tip of the cap to Jermaine Wiggins for beating me 11-1 in basketball. I'm going to print up the T-shirts, much like 28-3, 11-1. Tip of the cap to you, Jermaine. I've formally announced my retirement from playing basketball against 400-pound professional tight ends. But I will say this. I had no chance. There was you cannot function if they are not going to call a foul. And I'll admit it. I tried fouling him after, but I'm hanging on his arm like I'm hanging on a tree limb. Like, it just wasn't happening. And then when he was going to back me down into the post, what's the purpose of trying to get up on him? Because he's just going to drive to the hoop. I have to back off, and to his credit, he hit the jumpers. There's my synopsis of the great basketball game that took place last Sunday. It was a good time. It was much like the Conor McGregor-Floyd Mayweather fight. It was more about the hype, more about the promotion, and more about what it might lead to than the actual game. Kudos to everybody who participated, everybody who helped out in making that happen, because the next great event, I am convinced. Well, now that I do like the Chris Curtis versus Alex Reimer wrestling match. I am intrigued by that. I am very intrigued by that. But also the race, the rematch of the race between Wiggy and Reimer, with maybe Mutt involved somehow in the parking lot of a casino, much like Evel Knievel. All right, who do we get on the line? What's going on, Mark? Let's go. Mark, what's going on? Mark, pull him up.
Hey, Bradfo Show. It's Mark James in Watertown. How are you?
Jeez, Mark. Don't you have something to do? What's going on?
No. Listen, I wanted to thank you. I wanted to let you know what you did today was very emblematic and symbolic, and I'm proud to work with you at WEI. I just wanted you to know that. I enjoy. I'm glad that I stayed over for the first segment. I wanted to let you know you've done a good job today, and it spoke volumes, so that's all I wanted to say, Rob.
Mark, I appreciate it. You were part of the deal, that first segment. Yep. I think that you know, some things had to be said, and we said them. That's it.
We did say them, Rob. But here I am. here I just tells you, like, you know, I have no life. I'm calling into you after like 3 hours and 43 minutes after I, you know, got off the air.
Yeah, well, it's okay. That's okay. Now, have you imbibed it all from the time that you walked out of this building to right now?
What do you mean?
Like, have you partaken any alcohol beverages?
I don't drink. I don't drink.
Oh, you don't drink?
I don't drink. The only thing I drink is Sunkist orange soda.
Oh,
or
you do? Okay. I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but honestly, the minute I walk out of here, I'm going to my fire pit and breaking open a watered-down Corona. Oh, no, I'm sorry, a Boom Sauce. A Boom Sauce.
Yeah, you better Boom Sauce, man, because I love that guy and I love that place. It was great to be out there. We got to do it again.
Yeah, oh, yeah, later, we are absolutely doing that again. But, Mark, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate you you sticking around. So it's all good, man. It's all good. Like I said in the first segment, like, great things at EEI coming, right? Like, that's what it's all about.
And Rob, eventually you'll come around to my way of thinking on firing Brad Stevens.
Very cool. We'll get there. We'll see you on Monday. All right.
All right.
All right. There you go. Mark James weighing in. So is Mutt on the? What's Mutt doing on line two? But Callahan, what's he calling in for? Everyone's calling in today.
Volani on eight.
Volani, what's happening? Everyone wants to be part of this show, the Bradfoe Show.
Diossi's breaking down the door right now.
Anyway, it's so we got one more segment to go before Red Sox pregame with Will Fleming. I think Sean McAdams on, Marion Pemba and Joe Castiglione on the call. By the way, Chris Berman, part of the group that's calling the games this week against Cleveland. I believe it's Joe and Chris Berman for the first two games, and then Lou Maloney gets in the mix with the two of them on Wednesday. So that's something to look forward to. Anyway, one more segment to go. I'm Rob Bradford, 617-779-7937. Be back after this. Let's go. Mark, what's going on? Mark, pull him up.
Hey, Bradfoe Show. It's Mark James in Watertown. How are you?
Jeez, Mark. Don't you have something to do? What's going on?
No. I listen. I wanted to thank you. I wanted to let you know what you did today was very emblematic and symbolic, and I'm proud to work with you at WEI. I just wanted you to know that. I just wanted you to know. I'm glad that I stayed over for the first segment. I wanted to let you know you've done a good job today, and it spoke volumes.
Now, have you imbibed it all from the time that you walked out of this building to right now?
What do you mean?
Like, have you partaken any alcohol beverages?
I don't drink. I don't.
Oh, you don't drink?
I don't drink. The only thing I drink is Sunkist orange soda.
Okay. All right, that was Mark James. Not all heroes wear capes.
What an upset! The upset of the century that Mark James doesn't drink.
I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. Might be for the best.
I've never have ever, ever, ever.
Really?
Yeah. It just reached the point where, like, you get to a point where, like, it's like discipline in my life, you know?
Yep.
Like, it shows discipline. And I, you know, I'm not, like, throwing stones or anything, but that's my choice. So, there you go. I know that everyone wanted to know that. 617-779-7937. Weighing in on that topic or something else is Eddie in the car. What's going on, Eddie?
Hey, how are you? Listen, I heard your partner talking about Brad Stevens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if anybody's been paying attention to the Celtics in the last year, they could see that Kyrie made a lot of empty promises at the beginning of the season. And then what it looked like to me, and maybe I'm wrong, but it kind of looked like the guy quit without really quitting. You know, and what I mean by that is he didn't really care anymore. He kept saying the same thing. Don't worry. We'll be able to turn it on. We're going to be able to turn it on. And yet it just never, ever happened. And I guess the point I'm getting to is that the difference between Kyrie and these other players, Kyrie has no heart. This guy isn't a Celtics. He's got no green blood going through his body. He doesn't care about this team at all. So when I listen to these people say that we have to get something for Kyrie or Kyrie has to play here because he's going to do this and that, let me tell you something. I'd rather have a bum from Somerville that's going to come in and play and get 50 and play 100% all the time than have a guy like him that's going to hold this team hostage.
No, you don't. No, you would. No, you wouldn't, Eddie. Eddie,
he's a head case.
Eddie, you wouldn't. You wouldn't.
No, I really would.
No,
really
because the Celtics. But this is the conundrum that they're in right now, Eddie. Because you know as well as I do, you sound like you're a fan of the NBA. You need top tier talent. You need top tier talent to win in this league. And he is classified.
But you know what? He's proven that they can't win with him. And he's got a problem with his head. Let him go someplace else. I'm telling you, the Celtics were more fun to watch last year. They had a better chance of going to the finals. This year, the guys in there, they got the team together. He has messed this team up so bad. Now, listen, Brad Stevens, the only thing I'm going to blame him for is he couldn't deal with this superstar. But Brad Stevens is a good coach, and I think if you take Kyrie out of the equation, you just have a different team here. And I understand what you're saying, and Kyrie's so good. But if Kyrie doesn't want to be here and his heart isn't in Boston, he's not going to work out here.
Eddie, so I don't know if you heard me read this from the story from WEI.com early about why Brad Stevens doesn't pick captains. And I hadn't really thought about it until I reread it. But he talks about, this is what he said, once again, we want players like Horford and Baines, who are the most experienced, to be vocal and active within their personality. We want our best player in Kyrie to be vocal and do it within his personality. We want our other players that aren't as accomplished and maybe aren't playing as much, like Robert Williams, to feel like it's okay to have ownership and say within his personality what he thinks too. And Eddie, the reason I bring that up again is because I think Brad Stevens is an excellent coach, but not all philosophies work with all groups of people. And I think that philosophy didn't work with this group.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think this team would have been like this year if there was no Kyrie? Would they have been able to progress from last year?
They wouldn't have beaten Indiana, first of all. They wouldn't have beaten Indiana. And Eddie, I'm sorry, I got to get going here. I got to take a break. But they wouldn't have beaten Indiana. And this is the problem. You need the top-tier talent. That's why I think you got to keep Kyrie and then sort of build around him, figure out some pieces that maybe fit better than what they have right now. We got to go to a break. Last segment before Red Sox baseball pregame show, Will Fleming coming up. I'm Rob Bradford, 617-779. Actually, I'm not even going to give out the phone number because John Anderson and I are going to take a deep dive into something very, very important right after this.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sean McAdams swinging on by for the last couple minutes here before dives on into the pregame show with Will Fleming. We're going to find out if they work in 2 seconds. John Anderson, before I forget, good job today, because I will forget.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, we powered through, right?
We made it. Yep.
The best 3-6 Memorial Day weekend show on a Saturday ever created. I'm guessing that there were probably parts of it that were very well listened to, more than most Saturdays from 3-6 on a
Yeah, especially day. About 20 minutes ago, we got the best call in the world.
Oh, my goodness. For. It's rare that the host of the previous show not only stays for another segment of the show that follows, but then calls again later in the show. Anyway, that would be Mark James. Thanks for calling.
And again, I'm here before I have to doing a show before
message today, Sean. The great things are coming at WEI because it's all because of our off-the-charts work ethic.
I believe that to be true, Rob.
Yes, yes.
I heard that, and it just got me a little more fired up driving in.
All right.
I have no idea what you meant, but I got the good vibe.
There you go. So it's roses and sunshine.
And look, I'm imbibing, but it's only ice coffee.
I can confirm that it looks like iced coffee. Sean, so there we go. You're part of the Red Sox pregame show coming up.
Yep.
What is going to be the talker from last night? Because we had a caller call up and upset with I think it was Jim and Lowell, who was upset with the sloppy play, and I explained to him they do PFPs in spring training, and they don't practice rundowns ever again. So this is you're not going to cure what ailed him last night.
You're going to see more of this, likely tonight. I mean, they've actually, the funny thing was it was a very sloppy game, and it cost them with 2 unearned runs, ended up making the difference. But they in the previous 17 games, they had made 4 errors, and then they proceeded to make 3 and almost 4 in the span of about five or six innings, all in the infield. And it was an ugly night. Chris Sale wasn't his dominant self. And once again, all the home runs came with the bases empty. So there you have it.
Well, and it's weird because Devers actually, I looked this up, he's made one error this month.
Yeah, since the debacle in Chicago where he cost them the game in the ninth inning, or at least opened the door for the ninth inning collapse on the part of Ryan Brazier and the Delmonico homer. Yeah.
He was good. I mean,
yeah,
Devers
has played.
And you look at what he did in Toronto.
He has the ability to make the spectacular play. He's athletic, and I think the weight loss that he had over the winter allows him to have better range. But it was always about the errors on the routine plays.
Yep. It does. It made me think and made me look up, if could he make the All-Star team? And I know they're doing the All-Star some weird draft or something like that.
I can't even keep track.
Yeah, but anymore. If let's just say like this, that if you had to just do it traditionally and say like guys were having good years,
That's a far-fetched concept. But let's go with it.
Devers, right?
Yep.
Devers in the mix. I mean, Urshela or whatever his name is from New York.
Yankees,
if he gets a lot more plate appearances, maybe he catches up. Bregman's going to be voted in,
right?
Who was the other guy? Well, Chapman's up there. Makata's up there.
Yeah.
I'm missing somebody, though. I'm
trying to think who else is a third that would get some votes.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan Healy's up there, but there was somebody else. But anyway, he's in the mix. Bogaerts in the mix.
Is.
Yep.
Chavis will get some attention.
Yep. Especially by that time you roll around, he will have played enough.
Moreland will be in the mix.
Yeah, Moreland.
Although the batting average will hurt.
Yeah. It's weird. So it's, you look at, and the another one, could be, and I don't think he will make it, is Vasquez,
right?
Because I think the playing time will hurt him, and also he's got appreciably better defensively, but nobody cares when it comes to the All-Star
game. It's all
about
offense.
Yeah.
But, he's got a career high 7 homers. He's up around 300. He has had a very good month for himself, and it seems like, maybe it's just an obvious conclusion to draw, but I think the whole, trading Blake Swihart, designating him, and sort of sent a message to Vasquez that said, okay, you're it. Let's see what you can do. And I think he's not looking over his shoulder anymore at Swihart and worrying that he's going to be the guy of the future because he had the offensive upside. So I think he's playing with a little more confidence and having the best season of his career.
Yeah, and I think there's about 4 or 5 guys he's sort of lumped in with. Pitchers, I don't know. Sales, people are going to look at his overall numbers, even though he went on that run of dominance.
He might go on reputation, but it's going to be hard for a guy who's, what, now 1-6 with an ERA in the low 4s or high 3s. I mean, we should also stipulate that there's another few weeks before these decisions.
No, I want answers now.
Oh, okay.
I want to have the All-Star game now.
Well, if you're looking at numbers, Price has got good numbers with a low 3 ERA and maybe picks up a couple more wins between now and then
Barnes. I think Barnes makes it.
Pardon me?
I think Barnes makes it. A couple of years ago, he doesn't because they look at the save stuff. But I think people understand, especially with the strikeouts.
Yeah. I mean, he's been terrific other than, an outing here or there. And I think you're right. I think there's now going to be more focus and attention paid on those high leverage guys who aren't necessarily getting the saves padded to their statistics, but are nonetheless the most important guy in their team's bullpen, as Barnes clearly is here.
See, I wanted to do a subject that you weren't going to talk about on the pregame show because I Will Fleming, I wouldn't guess, is going to jump to the All-Star game. But I know something you will talk about on the pregame show, and that's Pedroia. So, this just isn't good.
No, and you just wonder how many. I mean, he's been able to bounce back from all these, quote, setbacks where they had, once they had to stop the clock and start the rehab assignment all over again. He's been scratched. He's come out of games. He's been held out of games that he was supposed to play. And he keeps coming back for more. So I suppose that's good. But the fact that there have been so many interruptions, cuts last night short after a couple of at-bats, 4 innings instead of the planned 7. And then it's my understanding he was briefly in the lineup today
for an hour, because I posted something, and then I had to change it.
Right. So that's not a good sign. Look, the fact is that he's having difficulty playing 3 and 4 days in a row at the minor league level where things are a little more managed, and it just gets harder and harder to believe that he can come back and contribute on a you know, on a full-time basis.
It is tough. We talk so much about the roster, what you're going to do with the roster, but right now, it's I don't think that's even in the conversation. It just isn't. So that's one thing. This is a good prelude to the pregame show. That was a good warm-up.
Thanks for preparing me for the pregame show.
Well, that's what we do. We leave no stone unturned, Sean. Not only are we very optimistic and happy-go-lucky group, but we're very, very prepared.
And don't forget the work ethic.
Work ethic is off the charts. All right, Sean McAdam, Boston Sports Journal. He will be on the pregame show with Will Fleming. John Anderson, what was your biggest takeaway from today? We were talking about leadership, by the way. Who is the leader of this team? Red Sox, real quick, because we're coming up against it. But who is the leader of this team? And I'm going to give you the answer. There isn't one.
There's a bunch of different guys.
Exactly, right? Isn't that what you hear, like, people don't understand with baseball teams? It's not like the C on the chest was a joke.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
So give me three leaders.
Porcello's huge.
Porcello's, yes.
Martinez is huge. And I would say that Bogarts is starting to
emerge.
Oh,
that's weird. Yeah, all in different ways, though.
Yep.
All in different ways.
Yeah, and you know, I would throw some other, you know, Price obviously has some leadership. Mookie in more of a quiet.
Yeah, but this is how baseball teams are. It stems off like what Chara said the other day. So anyway, Sean, good luck with the pregame show.
Thank you, Rob.
All right. Thank you to Marcus Walden, who joined us. Thank you to Mark James, who joined us multiple times.
Against our will. Do we thank him for that?
We still have approximately 15 seconds. Can he call on in? Is that possible?
The line open for you, Mark.
And once again, thank you to John Anderson for putting together a great show. I want to please have a great, great weekend, Memorial Day. I'll talk to you tomorrow, but it's going to be with Jermaine Wiggins, so we're just going to be yelling at each other. We'll be back tomorrow. Get ready for a Red Sox pregame.
Baseball is back. And so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.